Do you know another parent or expecting parent? Are you wondering, what can I give them as a gift? Don't give them another onesie. Don't give them a plastic toy or, God forbid, a toy gun that's just going to end up in the garage. Give them something that matters. And what matters the most is protecting their child. What do you love most in the world? Your children. What will you do to protect them? Anything. I sat down with the smartest people I know in the world on matters of child safety, finding missing children, fighting back against predators. And what I learned is so important, powerful, and information so critical. I want you to have it. I want them to have it. Go to crimestopshere.com for a 5-part series with action information that you can use to change your life and protect your child. Payment starting $6.99. Give that as a gift, not another onesie. Find out how to protect your child when you're out at the mall or the store, or the grocery, in the parking lot, at home. Find out about protection regarding babysitters and daycare, even online. I'd rather have that any day of the week than a plastic toy, or God forbid, a toy gun. Join Justice Nation. Go to crimestopshere.com. Crime Stories with Nancy Grace.
Police in Schuylkill County are searching for a teen missing since September. 15-year-old Annie Noelle Ungst was last seen at her home in Pine Grove Township. Anyone with information on her whereabouts is asked to contact police.
I'm Nancy Grace. This is Crime Stories. Please help us find a missing girl, Annie Noelle Ungst. Joining me right now is Larry Maher, crimeonline.com investigative reporter. We're talking about Annie Noelle Ungst, last seen at her residence there on the 300 block of Birds Hill Road in Pine Grove Township, Pennsylvania, at 7:15 a.m. How does a kid go missing at 7:15 a.m. in the morning? She's absolutely gorgeous. Absolutely gorgeous, long brown hair, big brown eyes, and in every picture, she's smiling. Where is Annie Nicole? Larry Maher, tell me what we know.
What we know is that her family notified police on a Monday morning that they had last seen her at their home at 7:15 a.m. that Monday morning. They called police less than 30 minutes after that to report her missing. Now, this is all taking place in Schuylkill County, which is west of Allentown, Pennsylvania, which is northwest of the Philadelphia metropolitan area. So it's in a fairly rural part of Pennsylvania.
What I don't understand is that I haven't heard a word about it. To Ashley Wilcott, I just happened to find out about this case while I was researching. Ashley Wilcott joining me, Atlanta juvenile judge, lawyer, and founder of ChildCrimeWatch.com. I haven't heard a word about Annie Noelle missing until I happened to find it and do it right now on our program.
I know. There's not a lot of information. There wasn't a lot of press, so to speak, on this particular case. And I hate to say it, Nancy, but boy, at that age, I always go to the horrible prospect of sex trafficking. Did she meet somebody online? Did she meet somebody on social media that she thought was safe, that she thought was appropriate, that wasn't? So I'm sure and hope that law enforcement's exploring all avenues, but we've got to get the word out nationwide to look for this young lady.
You can see Annie Noelle's photo and everything about her at crimeonline.com. She's last seen near her home there at Birds Hill Road in Pine Grove Township, Pennsylvania. And this was at 7:15 a.m. She's a gorgeous little girl, has just turned 15. She is beautiful with hair brown and wavy, big brown eyes. Nobody can tell me what she was wearing when she was last seen or what she was doing when she was last seen. That concerns me. We don't know what mode of transportation took her away. We know she has no history of running away. No history at all of running away. The critical time in her search has come and gone. We all know, Karen Stark, that typically on Stranger to Stranger, a child is killed within the first 2 hours of abduction, certainly within the first 36 to 72 hours. Okay, we know that. So as each minute passes, it gets more and more bleak. The outcome, the likelihood that she will be discovered alive gets less, it gets slimmer and slimmer, Karen. Why is that? Why do child kidnap victims only survive such a short time in Stranger to Stranger kidnaps?
Because as soon as the person abducts them, Nancy, and has their way with them, rapes them, you know, sexually abuses them, then they kill them because they don't want to be identified. They have no use for them anymore, and they know that there's a chance that they could actually describe them to someone, and that's what happens.
We're talking about a beautiful young girl, wavy brown, dark brown hair, big brown eyes, a beautiful smile. Her name is Annie Noel. She's only 5'3", and she only weighs 100 pounds. She's very thin. In a lot of her photos I'm looking at, she's pictured in a little jean jacket, which is Ashley Wilcott, the big thing. You got to have a jean jacket, right? And she's pictured in many of her photos in a little jean jacket. What do you think about this, Ashley?
You know, it reminds us, Nancy, of her age. Even though she's 15 and she's gorgeous, she's a child. She easily could be a victim. She could be on the street. She could have been abducted. We don't know what's happened to her. But you see that little jean jacket? And that's what my 11-year-old wants right now, right? And so that's, here she is, this little girl, really, even though she looks like a beautiful young lady, she's a little girl that someone knows something and needs to speak up.
I'm getting a little more information. Annie Noel Angst from Birds Hill Road, Pine Grove Township, last seen 7:15 a.m. on a Monday morning inside her home by a relative. Don't know if it was mom or dad or someone else living in the home, like in our home. My mother lives with us. So to Larry Maher, joining us, crimeonline.com investigative reporter, what more can you tell me about the disappearance? And I also don't understand why this has not been taken nationwide in a search to help find her.
That is an interesting question. The Pennsylvania State Police, who are handling this case, just renewed their call for help from the public within the last couple of days because they were renewing their effort to find leads to get to her. We can only speculate why they haven't said more. I don't know why they haven't said more. And as far as the circumstances under which she disappeared, they're pretty cloudy at this point. As you stated, she was last seen by a member of her own family in their home, and then she disappeared from the home, and it was reported less than 30 minutes later that she was missing.
That's extremely odd right there. The tip line, 570-754-4600. Repeat, 570-754-4600. Alan Duke joining me from L.A. Alan, do I have to state the obvious, or is it not being covered nationwide because she's Hispanic?
I don't know. I hope that's not the
case. A blue-eyed blonde like JonBenet. I mean, I don't understand why this little girl is less important than other children that go missing. I don't understand that. But I know this. This child must be brought home. We've got to find this child. Alan, have you looked at her picture?
Yes, I have. She's very beautiful. And there are some postings on Facebook about her. There's some of the missing children search sites are publicizing this, but it's surprising to me how little there is. And that's why I think it's really important that we get the word out there.
Guys, we're talking about Annie Nicole Angst. Missing. She's now missing for weeks. 5'3" tall, just 100 pounds, wavy brown hair, big, beautiful brown eyes. Won't you help us? The tip line, 570-754-4600. Please go to crimeonline.com. Look at Annie's picture. Have you seen Annie Nicole? Do you know another parent or expecting parent? Are you wondering, what can I give them as a gift? Don't give them another onesie. Don't give them a plastic toy, or, God forbid, a toy gun that's just going to end up in the garage. Give them something that matters. And what matters the most is protecting their child. What do you love most in the world? Your children. What will you do to protect them? Anything. I sat down with the smartest people I know in the world on matters of child safety, finding missing children, fighting back against predators. And what I learned is so important, powerful, and information so critical. I want you to have it. I want them to have it. Go to crimestopshere.com for a 5-part series with action information that you can use to change your life and protect your child. Payment starting $6.99. Give that as a gift, not another onesie. Find out how to protect your child when you're out at the mall or the store or the grocery, in the parking lot, at home. Find out about protection regarding babysitters and daycare, even online. I'd rather have that any day of the week than a plastic toy, or, God forbid, a toy gun. Join Justice Nation. Go to crimestopshere.com. Crime Stories with Nancy Grace.
Pizza cutter, scissors. These are some of the weapons an 11- and 12-year-old brought to Bartow Middle School on Tuesday to allegedly kill classmates.
They wanted to kill at least 15 people and were waiting in the bathroom for the opportunity to find smaller kids that they could overpower to be their victims.
Extra officers were already on campus after another student reported concerns on Monday. But police tell us the plot was foiled only after the girl's mother called in when a robocall said she skipped school.
This is horrific, and if I had children in school, I'd be scared, slapped to death.
Officers found them in the bathroom with a goblet on hand to reportedly drink their victim's blood.
I mean, how can these happen, you know? We are afraid, and she's afraid.
I kind of feel like maybe it might be a good idea just for some of these schools to maybe even put in metal detectors.
Messages appear to show the girls planned the murders and even to kill themselves when it was done.
I'm going to call them small children. They're only 11 and 12. Seriously sat down and plotted to do serious bodily harm to another student at school.
I can hardly take it in. Two little girls, ages 11 and 12, bring knives and a pizza cutter to school, planning to kill at least 15 classmates and then drink their blood? What? This isn't made up. It's real. I'm Nancy Grace. This is Crime Stories. Thank you for being with us. It's almost more than I can take in. The girls attended Bartow Middle School in Bartow, Florida. It's not a high crime area at all. Bartow Police Department announced arrests of these two girls. Now what do you do with them? Try them as adults, as juveniles? But before I can even get to that, I've got to hear the facts. Two girls, 11 and 12, bring knives and pizza cutters to school with a plan to kill at least 15 classmates and then drink their blood. And, oh, yes, they brought along a goblet, a ritualistic goblet, to pour the blood into in order to drink it. Okay, before I can even analyze this, let me get all the facts straight out to syndicated talk show host Dave Mack. What the hey is going on at Bartow Middle School?
Nancy, an 11 and a 12-year-old girls did a sleepover over a weekend where they did a marathon movie session of watching scary movies, horror flicks, slasher flicks, whatever you want to call it. And during the course of this weekend, they concocted a game plan. Now, they both claim that they are worshipers of Satan. And
okay, wait, just right there. Two little girls claim they're worshipers of Satan. Wait, just stop right there. I'm drinking from the fire hydrant here. It's too much at once. I can't take it all in. Ashley Wilcott is with me, longtime friend, and Atlanta juvenile judge, lawyer, founder, childcrimewatch.com. Ashley, hold on just a moment. Devil worshiping? What? Okay, wait. The other day, Miss Lucy, my little quiet angel, she says, I don't want to go to Sunday school. And I'm like, you what? I don't want to go to Sunday school. I'm like, really? Well, I don't want to cook dinner or lay your clothes out or wash your clothes either or clean your guinea pig cage, but I do it. Now, put on those Sunday clothes I've got for you hanging in your bathroom and start marching, young lady. How does somebody 11 years old decide they're a devil worshiper?
I know. Isn't this weird? It's the weirdest thing to me. And so here's the thing. You know, it's one thing for kids to watch scary movies, but then to assimilate and put it into devil worshiping, I am flabbergasted. I have no idea how they come up with that at that age. And one thing is, perhaps, mayhaps, an 11-year-old should not be watching those scary, scary movies. Do you let your two kids watch those? I'm guessing not.
Totally. Yeah, we watch them. But let me define. Wait a minute. Before I tell you what we watch, of course, Murdoch Mysteries out of Canada. I watch it with them. If there's anything that I believe is going to be violent, which there really isn't, it's kind of glossed over like Murder, She Wrote. You know, where there's a murder, but you don't ever see a body or any blood. It's kind of like a whodunit. Of course, they watch Hallmark, Haley Dean Murders and Mysteries, right? Okay, because I wrote it. But as far as scary, violent, anything, no. Wait, Ashley, what are we doing talking about child psychology? I've got Karen Stark with me, New York psychologist. Karen, how does it go from watching a scary movie? And yes, I hear all your disdain from letting them watch Hercule Poirot. Okay, I hear your silent judging. But there's nothing like American Psycho or Slender Man or seriously scary things. Now I'm all worried because I was going to let them go this weekend to see, what is it, Goosebumps, the new movie Goosebumps. So is that wrong, Karen Stark? Is Goosebumps wrong?
No, Nancy, you can certainly let them go see Goosebumps. If you think about this situation, it's a whole weekend watching slasher horror movies. Where are the parents? And what?
Wait, when you say slasher, what do you mean by that? Because I've actually never watched a slasher movie. I will tell you this, Karen. I think I told you this way back at Court TV days. When I was little, maybe 3 or 4, someone had left the TV on at night. And I walked in there during the shower scene of Psycho, Norman Bates. Do you know, to this day, I prefer a bath over a shower. And the whole time I was growing up, always take a bath because of that happening when I was about 4 years old. It makes a huge impact on you, Karen.
You're not alone. You know how many people were affected by Psycho? It's why the movie is considered a classic. It really got to you. And that's what a slasher movie is. It's the kind of movie where it raises suspense and you see a lot of blood and gore and things that children really shouldn't be exposed to. It's okay to see Goosebumps and fairy tales and stories where there are outcomes that are not wonderful and perfect, but to see horror, that's not anything that in that age, that's adolescent, it's preteen, they're not capable of really taking in movie, especially a whole weekend full of movies. I think it's very telling that the parents weren't there. They're impressionable. If one of them gets the idea, remember, this is preteen. They follow each other. They're impressionable. They also have wonderful imaginations. And whatever happened, I really feel like they became embroiled in this whole fantasy of horrific killing. They were talking about killing themselves, which tells me that they really don't understand what they're doing.
Well, wait a minute. Hold on right there, Karen. I agree with you. They may not understand what they're doing and the full implications, but we saw in the Slender Man case of Vincent Hill where two girls were enamored with the fake character Slender Man. They thought they had to kill someone in order to go live with him in his mansion in the woods, whatever. And they actually attacked a little girl and stabbed her multiple times trying to go live with Slender Man. So Vincent Hill, they may not really understand fully the consequences of their acts, but the kid can still end up dead. All right. I mean, whether you fully understand it or not. And one thing, Vincent, is you and I have seen it, you as a cop turned PI now author of Playbook to a Murder and the creator of podcast Fall of a Titan. Vincent, you and I have seen children that grow up in crime families where the parents go in and out of jail. They sell dope in the home. They have guns. Those children grow up thinking that is normal, and they do it. And they think jail is just part of life. They don't think anything about it. Same thing here. If you let your children watch slicer movies, well, what do you think is going to happen?
Yeah, Nancy, I'd be real curious to find out what's going on in that home. I mean, they're, what, 10 and 11 years old, and they're watching these types of movies. My son is 17, and I still screen the movies he watches. He knows right from wrong. And you can argue maybe an 11-year-old may or may not know right from wrong, but I'd really question what's going on in that home to even allow such a young child to even watch stuff like this, Nancy.
Yesterday at approximately 1:30 p.m., the Bartow Police Department school resource officer Guzman responded to the principal's office at Bartow Middle School. He was summoned there by the principal, Chris Roberts, and the investigation revealed the following. On October 22nd, a teacher at Bartow High School received information that Caitlin Persinger, 11 years of age, told another student not to come to building 500 at the middle school. Something bad was going to happen. In one message, Westergaard advised Persinger, "We will leave body parts at the entrance and then we will kill ourselves," end quote. Persinger and Guard were both arrested and charged with conspiracy to commit murder, possession of a weapon on school property, carrying a concealed weapon, and disruption of the school functions. During our investigation, detectives conducted a search of the juveniles' homes, and during the search of Westergaard's residence, detectives located material containing a hand-drawn map of Bartow Middle School, which included the notation, "Go to kill in bathroom." A search of the juvenile cell phones revealed conversations regarding the same plot on social media. During the last conversation, which occurred on the same day that we were talking about, Westergaard messaged, and I quote, "Today is health lessons. Thank Satan, we are doing this in a bit," end quote.
Okay, you are hearing Bartow Police Chief Joe Hall describing what they had learned, the evidence in this case. An 11 and 12-year-old little girl, two little girls, bring knives and pizza cutters to school with a plan to kill at least 15 of their friends before drinking the friends' blood and then killing themselves as part of a satanic ritual. And they write a message stating, quote, "Thanks, Satan, we're doing this in a bit." How do an 11 and 12-year-old girl talk about leaving body parts at the front door? Joining me right now, in addition to Vincent Hill, cop-turned-PI and author, Ashley Wilcott, judge, lawyer, founder of ChildCrimeWatch.com, Karen Stark, New York psychologist, Alan Duke, of course, joining me from L.A., Dave Mack with me, syndicated talk show host. How did the cops find all this evidence? And if you don't mind, could you just start at the beginning again? I'm trying to wrap my mind around two little girls trying to murder their classmates at school.
Okay. The 11-year-old and 12-year-old girls spent the weekend together watching slasher horror films. During the course of this weekend, they concocted a game plan because, again, I go back to them claiming to be worshipers of Satan. And as one of the girls, mom got a robocall because the girl didn't show up for her second period class. Mom calls the school and says, "Hey, she's at school today." That's when they started trying to find her. They went looking around the school, and they found the girls in the bathroom with the knives. And by the way, they actually researched the best type of knife to use that would get the most blood out of a body. They had a goblet where they were going to pour the blood into the goblet and then drink it. After they killed, while they were in that bathroom, they were looking for smaller children that they could actually manhandle so that they could kill them. They were then going to slice them up, cut them up. At one point, there was a notation that they wanted to leave body parts at the front of the school. But the girls noted in one of the notes between the two of them that they needed to be evil enough and kill enough kids so that then when they committed suicide, they could spend eternity in hell with Satan. That was their end game.
To Karen Stark, I'd like you to weigh in on that.
Well, that just tells me, Nancy, that they really did not understand what they were watching and that it was exciting to them. They had this idea that it would be wonderful to be in hell with Satan and that killing the younger students was perfectly all right. And I'm going to say this again because it's very shocking to me. Where were the parents? How could they have been writing on social media, watching a weekend full of slasher films, and no parent was aware of the fact that this was going on? They're 11 and 10 years old. Someone should have known what was happening.
You know, I'm listening to all of this as it pours in. What's scary to me, Ashley Wilcott, is they were actually acting on it. They had drawn a school map. They had identified classmates they had planned to kill. They brought a goblet to school in order to drink the blood. At this juncture, Ashley, prosecutors have got to decide whether the girls will be charged formally as juveniles or adults.
Right. And so if it's one of the crimes that fits the seven deadly sins, then they can be charged as an adult. And that can happen even at those young ages. But, it, you know, here's what's really distressing and disturbing. At those ages, arguably, even though they're committing a crime, they don't fully, as Karen already pointed out, recognize the consequences of that crime. They really don't understand what it means. But in this particular case, what's the expression? Oh, yes, idle hands are the devil's workshop, because all of our children at those ages, 10 and 11, are engaged in good, meaningful activities, whatever it is that interests them. And these two girls obviously had way too much time on their hands.
You know, I'm thinking about what you said. The prosecutions in the Slender Man case where the two girls actually nearly stabbed their little friend to death, luring her to a spend-the-night party, going out into the woods, and then slashing her, stabbing her within a quarter inch of her artery and leaving her there to bleed out in order to gain access to their hero, the sci-fi character Slender Man, and live in his mansion. They were prosecuted, and they are doing hard jail time. I've looked at the police photos of the weapons investigators recovered. It's a huge cache of weapons. There's a meat cleaver, a pizza cutter, knives, a goblet, which they were planning to use to drink the little girl's blood, and they were already in the bathroom. They were staking out a school bathroom waiting for smaller students than them to come in. Then their plan was to cut their throats, cut up the students' bodies, eat their flesh, and drink their blood. The plan was to kill at least one student, but to kill anywhere from 15 to 25. And I'm reading this from the police affidavit. Quote, killing all the students was in hopes it would make them worse sinners, ensuring that they would go to hell so they could be with Satan. Okay, I don't even know how you start with that, Karen Stark. You're the shrink. If you get one of these girls on your couch, where do you start?
Well, the first thing that you need to do is to find out how it happened that it became so exciting to them that their minds wrapped around this idea of the fantasy of being with Satan and that it would be wonderful and eating flesh. I mean, don't you hear it, Nancy? This is being taken directly from the movies that they were watching, drinking blood, eating flesh, and trying to get them to see the difference between reality and fantasy. And at that age, your mind is not developed enough where you can absolutely be certain that you know the difference, which is why I'm saying they really weren't aware of what they were doing.
Well, you know, I appreciate that, Karen, and I know that you're right. But in the eyes of the law, Ashley Wilcott, their fascination or their fantasies of a little girl, their, you know, storyline may be fictional, but those knives are real. And if they were targeting smaller students than themselves, that means tiny children coming in there that were going to be their victims. And they were poised in the bathroom with the meat cleaver, with the pizza cutter, with the knives, with the goblets. When they were caught, they were in the bathroom waiting for a smaller child to come in at that moment.
Right. So, Nancy, as a juvenile court judge, I see delinquent children before me all the time. And here's the reality. They committed a crime. They have to be held accountable. There have to be consequences. Now, keep in mind, juvenile court, the whole goal, even if they're charged as an adult, at those ages, they are to be rehabilitated, theoretically, right? Provide incarceration, but that provides rehabilitation. So that's going to be the goal. But they do have to be prosecuted for this is a crime and a horrific crime. They have to be prosecuted.
Well, they have to be prosecuted. You mentioned earlier, juveniles are treated as adults in court if they commit one of the seven deadlies. I call them the DFA, the Designated Felony Act. There are seven felonies. Has to be one of these felonies for a child, a minor, that's, you know, like 16 or under, to be bound over or handed over to be prosecuted as an adult. And they're pretty obvious. They're murder, they're rape, they're aggravated sodomy, armed robbery. Let me think. I think arson is one. There's two more missing. Aggravated assault. Did I already say that one? I'm missing one. What's the seventh deadly? Ashley Wilcott, because it's got to be one of these offenses before an adult court will even consider treating a juvenile as an adult. There's seven of them in your jurisdiction, Ashley Wilcott. So to Dave Mack, do we have any information as to how they're going to be treated? Are they going to be treated as adults?
Nancy, at this point, what I saw is that that's still being determined as they're being held in a juvenile facility right now. And they're because of their ages at 11 and 12, they're going to have to determine what's going to be the best course of action in terms of prosecution.
Today it's sad that we have students that were actually plotting and practicing to harm other students on campus. Thank you to all of the principals, the assistant principals there, for following through after a parent call when the system called them, let them know that their child was absent. That's how the system works. And they go out and they look. Don't send our children to school to be harmed. And I will say this to anyone, if you plan on harming any of our children, we will take it very credible and turn it over to law enforcement. We will protect them and we will make sure that we cooperate fully with law enforcement to ensure the safety of all of our campuses here in the county.
You are hearing sound related to an 11 and 12 year old girl planning to commit mass murder at their middle school in Bartow County, quote, leave body parts at the entrance. Bartow middle school girls planning to kill classmates, drink their blood, according to police. And there's a lot of evidence proving this is true. An 11 and 12 year old girl, apparently the parents let them watch slasher movies, dice and slice movies all weekend, and they hatched this plot and were carrying through. Straight out to Alan Duke joining me in LA, but you see it a different way. What?
Well, first of all, let me say that my daughter is no satanic devil worshiper. Let me get that out of the way right now.
Well, I can agree with that because I've met her and she's absolutely beautiful.
Yes, she is. She's 27 years old. She's a mother of four and a five-year-old children. But when she was 13, had just turned 13, she was the subject of criminal prosecution in Georgia. And it was a case that, well, it put me on Good Morning America, Inside Edition, et cetera, because I got a call from the principal one day that I needed to immediately get to the school. And I went down to the school and there were cops everywhere, ambulances all over the place. And I said, oh, turns out my daughter was accused of trying to kill about 13 of her classmates. Now, you know the story, Nancy, and you know how it had the ending. But it wasn't with knives and it wasn't with scissors, anything like that. She allegedly tried to poison them with a cake in the lunchroom. And they took her off to jail along with a classmate, a neighbor girl, and they charged them as adults. The next day, my daughter was in chains on camera in
a televised
hearing.
Oh, my stars. Wait. I'm just trying to imagine my little baby girl or my son in chains.
She looked. You know, I personally covered the Tim McVeigh and Terry Nichols trials, Oklahoma City bombers. They had more chains than them. Two little, tiny little 13-year-old girls. And they had even McVeigh wasn't televised. My daughter's hearing was televised, and I had to get up and testify. So it was pretty tough. Charged with 13 counts of terrorism and attempted murder of her classmates. And that was pretty traumatic. But you know what happened, Nancy? Justice took its course. This was in Cobb County in 2004. They tested the cake, and guess what they found was in the cake? Nothing harmful. It was all a misunderstanding. The teacher had jumped to the conclusion that my daughter, there was something wrong with the cake because it was a stupid cake. My daughter's still not a good cook. It was a stupid cake she took sort of as a prank. She calls it a prank. And so she was arrested and charged with very serious crimes as an adult. The point here is that sometimes
Wait, so
people,
there was nothing in it at all?
No, it was tested by the crime lab, GBI crime lab. And it was stupid. They made it, you know how in school they teach you how to make Play-Doh out of flour? That's what they did.
Yes.
They used that recipe, which is edible. And the other odd ingredient was glue, school glue, which again is edible. That's why we let kindergartners have it, right? So it was just a silly cake. They put a lot of different food colors in it. And the police immediately said there were drugs in it. All kinds of stuff got out in the media about it that wasn't true. And I had to deal with that. And that's why I was on Good Morning America a few times and other places countering it. And it turned out a happy ending. They actually took it to trial. And they first day of the trial, after the first day, the judge took everybody in and said, we're throwing this out because the GBI testified there was nothing in the cake.
Okay, so I'm hearing a completely different point of view to Vincent Hill, cop turned PI. Vincent, his daughter, Alan's daughter, who I've been with many, many times, she's beautiful on the inside and the outside, stunning and lovely and kind and gentle. I don't know, Vincent. I think that's a far, even though I'm hearing the other side to it, that's a far cry from taking knives to school. Now, the parents may argue, Vincent, that this was just a prank. They weren't going to follow through. Well, in Alan's daughter's case, there was no plan, nothing to follow through. She just took a cake to school, and another kid heard her call it a stupid cake, and it got interpreted that it had poison in it. It didn't at all. And it's like that game I was talking to you about earlier where one you sit in a circle and you say one thing to one, and they pass it around, and by the end you laugh because it's a completely different thing that was said to start with. That's what that is. Here, these girls actually bring knives and pizza cutters to school.
Yeah, a bunch of different circumstances than a very horribly baked cake, Nancy. You're talking knives, and if you look at what's happened in school in the last couple of years, you can't take any of these threats lightly, no matter how old the child is, no matter what they look like. You can't take any of this lightly to say, oh, well, you know, it was just a prank that they weren't going to go through with it. You can't make that assumption anymore, not in this day and age, Nancy.
No, you really can't. So let me go back to you, Dave Mack, syndicated talk show host, joining us. Where does it stand right now?
Well, right now they're still in the investigation phase. The girls, both of them, are in juvenile detention while they determine whether or not they're going to charge them as adults or not. And we're awaiting findings from the prosecutor's office, and we'll know more in the next few days.
As we wait, two girls remain in juvenile hall. Will they be treated as adults and face 20 years behind bars? What were their real intentions? And what, if any, role did their parents play in this? I'm Nancy Grace, signing off. Goodbye, friend.